But first, we continue our Teach Me What You Know series. Last week, we learned how to ace an interview with the director of the UW's Career Services. This week, we'll learn how to improve our memory.
You might have heard that doing crossword puzzles or learning a new language can keep our minds sharp, but is there more to it? As cases of Alzheimer's and dementia increase nationally, the question of how to practice good brain health is making news regularly, and we'd like to get a sense of what's myth and what can actually make a difference.
Here with some tips on boosting our memory is Dr. Gayatri Devi. She is the director of New York Memory Services and associate professor of neurology and psychiatry at the NYU School of Medicine. Dr. Devi, welcome to Central Time.
Hi, Rob. Thanks for having me.
Well, to start, what can we do in terms of lifestyle that'll give our brains a little boost?
Well, several things. The most important and the easiest thing you could do to help improve your memory is to sleep. Sleeping is associated with consolidation of memory, which basically means that your memory then gets laid down within the brain so that you can access it later. And that's very much a function of sleep. And in the last several months, there have been some exciting studies where they've found that mice that sleep well have less deposits of this toxic amyloid plaque, which is associated with Alzheimer's disease. And people who sleep well also have less development of the plaques that are associated with Alzheimer's.
And I've been hearing stuff lately in Alzheimer's research saying something along the lines of, hey, that stuff you want to do for heart health, it's going to help your brain too. Is that true?
That is absolutely true. Anything that's good for your heart is going to be good for your brain, and that includes things like diet. So if you have a good Mediterranean diet, which is good for the heart, which is very high in the type of fats and the type of food that's good for the heart and good for the blood vessels, then that means there's going to be better blood flow to your brain and your brain health will also be better. Exercise, especially aerobic exercise, is good for the heart and that's also good for the brain. Low cholesterol diets are good for the heart and that's good for the brain. So yes, absolutely. Anything that's good for the heart is going to be good for your brain.
And it seems like in pop culture or just in conversation, somebody will say something about a particular food and say, oh yeah, that's a brain food. That's a good brain, like salmon, I've heard. Which, but I like salmon, so I don't mind eating that. Is there really such a thing as a brain food?
Yeah, there's, you know, most antioxidant foods that are rich in antioxidants, so for example, blueberries are good for the brain. And recently, last summer, there was a wonderful study where they looked at people who drank a cup of cocoa, hot chocolate, daily for a month, and they found that their brain blood flow was improved. Now, you have to kind of balance that because you don't want to drink enough cocoa that you're putting on weight. But if a little bit of cocoa seems to be associated with better blood flow to the brain.
And that reminds me, I just saw a headline the other day, something about caffeine being good for our memory. Is that what's doing it in the cocoa? Or is it something else? And is caffeine really good for our memory?
So the caffeine, what it does is it's a little bit of a stimulant. So that's good for just all of us, you know, in terms of thinking and attention and concentration. But the trick is you don't want to have too much caffeine. What's found in cocoa is not really caffeine, but flavanol, which is an antioxidant, and that's really what's thought to be helpful in terms of the cocoa-related improvement in memory loss. But generally, you want to kind of balance, you know, everything in moderation, so not too much cocoa and not too much caffeine, because then you won't be able to sleep at night.
So that's the food, the exercise. How about can we train our brain to remember better? Can we make ourselves remember stuff?
Absolutely. I mean, there are very classic exercises that people can do to help remember. And, you know, one classic exercise is using what's called the method of loci, which is where you associate different parts of a room in your home, for example, with a list of random things, so that if you wanted to go to the drugstore and you had a list of 10 things that you needed to remember, then you associated with different items in the room, and that helps you remember better. If you wanted to remember the name of someone called William, then you see a big dollar bill on the front of their face, and the next time you see them, you'll say, "Hey, Bill." So that's called pegging. So you can use those little kind of tricks to help improve your daily memory. But that takes a lot of practice, and it takes a lot of concentration and attention as well.
I've seen things about medieval scholars and monks. I think it was called the Cathedral of Memory, where they had a whole cathedral mapped out in their head, and they kind of carved the memory they wanted to keep in a specific part of the cathedral. With enough practice, would that really work?
Absolutely, and that's really what the method of loci is about. It's about not, you know, if you don't have a cathedral, you can use a room. But basically, what you're doing there is you're creating a story, and by putting this random list of items into a story, into, say, the map of the cathedral or the map of the room, you then imbue this random list of items with some kind of structure. So by making a story of it, you then are able to better remember. So that's very important. To make sense of something makes it easier to remember it. Other things that are important for memory is context, so context-specific memory. So if you saw someone in the supermarket and it's the person who's the checkout girl, but you see them outside the supermarket, you know you've seen them, but you don't remember their name. If you saw them at the checkout counter, you'd know their name. The other important thing is emotion. You know, the more emotion you attach to something, so very few people will forget their first kiss, for example, or if they got into a fight with someone, they'll usually remember that better than if they didn't, because emotion helps to brand and sear that memory into parts of your brain.
So if we're taking a class, does it help us to try to have some sort of emotional feeling while we're learning as opposed to just sitting there with a glazed expression?
Well, absolutely. I mean, I think that it's always good to be motivated. And, you know, and that's been a proven aid for memory, a concentration. And if you imbue the class with emotion, if you are enthusiastic about the class and you make it positive so that it's an experience where you're enjoying being with your other classmates, et cetera, then that's going to help you remember better. Also, interestingly, if you were to take the exam in the same class, in the same classroom where you had learned, then that will help you remember better, retrieve better.
So there are a lot of things out there that people say improve our memory in the puzzles and games category, crossword puzzles or Sudoku, or the websites like Lumosity that are advertised as improving brain health. Do these really work?
So I have kind of a complicated response to that, which is that the most important thing you can do for your brain health and the most important thing you can do for your memory is to diversify your brain's abilities. So if you're someone who spends most of your day fact-checking or you're an editor, then you're not the kind of person who's going to benefit from doing the crossword puzzle or doing Sudoku. You'd be someone who'd be better off learning how to play the guitar or going out and chopping wood. If you're somebody who, you know, works as a housekeeper for a living, and you maybe do more manual tasks during the day, then that you would be a person perhaps then who would benefit from doing Sudoku and more verbal language tasks, etc. So you want to basically involve all parts of your brain, because memory is not just in any one area. It's spread in all sections of your brain. It's a big web that your memory weaves within the fabric of your brain.
Well, that's amazing that doing different stuff, even things like chopping wood you mentioned that I would not associate with my brain all that much. I know you have to think about it when you're doing it, but that doing those different things really boosts our memory?
Yes, because basically your memory is the ultimate result of a healthy brain. So in order to improve your brain health, you want to keep all areas of your brain very healthy. And that means, you know, lifestyle changes. It means changes in your diet. It means keeping different parts of your brain involved. So it's similar to if you want to be a good athlete, you don't want to just increase the strength in your biceps, you know, to help lift weights. You want to keep all of your body very healthy. And the same goes with the brain as well.
So I've got to ask, I remember some things incredibly well, usually worthless information, a quote from a Simpsons episode from 30 years ago or however long it's been on, and I forget things like people's names when I run into them for the 20th time. Should I feel dumb when I can't remember stuff, or am I expecting too much of my memory?
That's a great question, and the answer is absolutely yes. When you think that you're going to have, when you expect that you are going to remember the names of all the people you meet on a daily basis, I believe you're asking too much of your memory. If you just think back to 100 years ago, most of us came in contact with about 300, 400 people maximum within our lifetime, because we grew up in villages and small towns, people that we've known all of our lives. Now, in a city, even a medium-sized city, you would meet 200 to 300 people a day. And within a period of a month, you may meet 300 people whose names you're required to remember. So trying to remember and feeling bad because you don't remember the names of people when you meet so many every day, I think that's being not very kind to yourself and imposing unnecessary stress on yourself because you think, oh my goodness, I'm forgetting so much. Because forgetting, and this is very important to remember, is also an important part of our brain's functioning. Our brain needs to forget in order to remember the things it needs to remember. And maybe remembering 500 names that you, of people you met at a conference today is not important for your brain's ability to function.
In our last 30 seconds or so, how do I get my brain to prioritize? Dump the right stuff, keep the stuff I need.
Absolutely. I think sleep is important, exercise is important, diversifying your brain's ability to function in different areas is important, and stop stressing that you're not remembering.
I will really try to do that. Dr. Devi, thank you so much for joining us.
It's been a pleasure. Thanks for having me, Rob.
That's Dr. Gayatri Devi. She's director of New York Memory Services. She joined us for this installment of Teach Me What You Know. Hey, speaking of caffeine, next week we're going to learn how to brew the perfect cup of coffee from a coffee expert at the Wisconsin-based coffee house, Collectivo.